and welcome to the Sober Buddy podcast, your boost of sober thinking and awesome life building. I am Tara Zoe, CEO and co-founder here at Sober Buddy, and I am joined by my dad and co-founder, Paul Brethen, who is a marriage family therapist and expert in substance abuse addiction and treatment. Today, we will be talking about why we tell you to put off making big decisions in the beginning of recovery. This comes up a lot, and we thought it was worth talking about. So remember, if you like what you hear on the podcast, you should subscribe to the Sober Buddy app because we're the people who created it. So do some challenges, get some motivation, share screenshots of your Sober Tracker, and tell Buddy how you are feeling today. Welcome to the show, Paul. Dad.
Hi. Good to see you again.
Yes.
Or hear you again.
Yes. All the way out there in Uganda. You know what's funny? I remember when you first moved out there 14 years ago, where it was so different. It's so different. We had to buy the calling cards. And there was this big delay. I remember it was so frustrating talking because you would have to wait.
Well, not only that, but the internet was like horrible. It literally would take me 10 minutes just to boot up, the site. It drove me crazy. It was really bad. It was tough.
And I remember when Skype first came out, and Skype was like horrible, but it was free. You could talk for free over the internet. Yeah. And now it's like we just talk on the phone. Like it's normal. Oh,
yeah. It's great.
We're podcasting together. And if I didn't say Paul's in Uganda, no one would know.
Yep, that's right. Even though I'm 11 hours ahead of you.
I know. So it's night for him right now. It's morning for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. Dinner time.
Yes. And he's always like, all right, if we're not going to have a serious meeting, I'm going to go eat. Like if you don't have anything important for me to say, I'm going to go eat.
Okay. Let's move it on here.
Yeah, let's move it along. Hungry. Okay. He's getting hungry. Okay. We're just going to talk real quick. Right. We're going to talk about big decisions. So we tell people, we have a challenge that talks about, we tell people to put off making big decisions at this stage of recovery. So let's talk about what stage of recovery that is and at what point, we can start considering making big decisions again.
I would usually say the first 6 months of coming off your drugs and alcohol. And the main reason is because of all the changes that are occurring in your body, physically, mentally, emotionally. And so when it comes to making a major decision, sometimes those decisions are influenced by your emotions, for example. And you may misinterpret your circumstances. Let me give you an example.
Expand on misinterpreting.
If you're coming off like cocaine or methamphetamine, there's a stage of recovery called the wall, which starts around 45 days from your last use up to about 120, 130 days. And you're going to feel depressed, low energy, irritable, difficulty concentrating, short-term memory loss. And so you're going to be feeling bored, anxious. And if you're thinking that you're feeling this way because it's your work situation, it's your relationship, it's this or that, you may conclude that, well, the reason I'm feeling so depressed is because of this situation.
Right.
Therefore, I need to decide. And you make some major decision, which doesn't change anything. Do you know what I'm saying? So the clarity to be objective is really distorted because of what you're going through. That's why we say, look, just let's talk about if something's stressful, how can you deal with stress? What can you do to help minimize these emotions and these feelings?
In the beginning of recovery as like assuming all of your emotions are from, are things you're just going to have to deal with. And so it's more about coping with those emotions rather than thinking, okay, I'm having these emotions because of the way my life is structured and I need to change my life. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Like at this point, and it might be from your life, but you don't know yet.
That's what I'm saying. To just deal with that, you can't separate. I mean, as your brain is healing, those emotions are real. They're
right,
there
for sure.
And you just have to go like, okay, I even if I make this lifestyle change, I'm still going to feel the same way.
Right.
Because it's not external, it's internal.
Right, right.
You know, it's the brain. And that's really important to get that, put that factor in there. Now, again, there doesn't mean you can't make the changes. You just need, I think, help. You need somebody who can kind of sift through that, because there might be circumstances that you have to make changes because it's affecting your recovery.
Right, you right. Know, so this is where like a therapist would be really helpful to help you see things objectively.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Just as a rule of thumb, that's what I say, as a rule of thumb, really, you know, where it's like moving, you know, changing, you know, a career, changing relationships.
Now, when you say that with relationships, and we know that relationships, like, they affect us so much and could really throw us off on our recovery. Do you think it's a valid choice to say to a partner or in any kind of relationship, it might be a friendship or a family relationship, hey, I think that this relationship is negatively affecting me. However, it could possibly just be that I'm going through all these emotions with recovery. Can we kind of pause things? And then once I'm stabilized, we can talk again and we can decide if it's the relationship or if it's us. And we please just have patience with me because my brain is healing. I know that that would be like an uber mature, rational conversation
I've done that quite a bit in relationships. It's actually probably a relief for people to realize, like for example, if you're always irritable and you're arguing, you're nagging, you're going on and on and on, you know, the other person's going, eventually go, you know, I liked it better when you were smoking pot.
Right.
When you were drinking.
Right.
You know, you weren't annoying me like this. And to realize that this is not normal yet.
Right. Because they're thinking this is just the non-drinking you. But really, it's just the brain healing you. It's not actually you. I think that's huge. Let's just talk about that. Everybody out there, family and loved ones of people who are going through recovery, hear that it might take some time for the real them to come back. It's not, it doesn't flip a switch.
Right, right. And so it's more of like, okay, what can we do to manage the situation that doesn't get out of control?
Right.
You know, just like walk away, say, look, let's just take a break, time out. I used to say a lot, just time out like a ref.
Yeah.
Stop. You
know, we're doing a timeout.
I'll go this way. Time out so that we don't kill each other, you know?
Yeah.
And then that ends up being the justification to go use or drink, you know?
Yeah. You know, I've heard before, I mean, there's so many tools that are used with this. One of them I had heard before, like just depending on what people's fears are, like, if someone has an abandonment fear, you know, like if you say time out, like saying, I am going to go take a drive, but I will be back, you know,
right.
Or
absolutely.
That what's inside your hula hoop thing they talk about in Al-Anon, you know, like, okay, I'm going to zoom into what's inside my hula hoop and I'm going to let you go through your thing, you know, like, so I think those different kinds of skills are so important and great, but I just feel like that's the nugget from this, like as we're talking is, hey, if you are in recovery or you are a family of someone who is going through this process, knowing that the person that they are or that you are in this moment that you're going through all of this brain healing is not necessarily what your sober self looks like.
Mm-hmm.
This is my going through it self, you know, like my transitionary self. And I think that's super, could be a really great thing to communicate and a really great thing for other people to know about their loved ones.
Absolutely.
Well,
it really calms things down. It does, because it's like if you had a medical problem, you know, and nobody can come up with a diagnosis. That unknowingness, that like uncertainty can drive you crazy, the anxiety and the stress around that.
Right.
And so to know what the issue is, and this is what we can do about it. And especially the nice thing is that there's hope, is that just give it enough time and it'll be
better. How long does it usually take? Where can we put that hope line for people? Like how long until I become a real person again?
Well, okay. There's the 120 days from your last use. Now, when I say last use, if you were using frequently, not one relapse.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? This is like coming off a drug lifestyle or okay. alcohol lifestyle.
So basically like when you start getting sober. Yeah.
Yeah. But then you have a couple of months after that of what are normal emotions.
So you're kind of like recalibrating at that point.
Right.
Okay. Right.
See, so, and so that's a learning curve in itself.
So you're looking at 4 to 6 months, people. Is yeah. that what you're saying? You're talking, yeah, we're talking yeah. 4 to 6 months till we're stabilized and starting to like say, okay, this might be a new normal. This might be what I'm going to be like, right?
Right.
Okay. Right. Okay. So there you go. Everybody, 4 to 6 months till we have some kind of sense of this is what my sober self might look like.
Even for the person who's in recovery, what's my partner like being sober when I'm sober?
Right. How do I perceive them? That's true. That's true.
Yeah. There's a lot of adjustment, you know?
Right.
And with career, with work, with children, with neighbors, with family members, you know, and it could be a little scary. I think people are scared about what that is like, especially if it's worse. See, this is the biggest fear is, well, if I stop and my life gets worse or these emotions become too intense, what do I do? Mm-hmm. Before it was have a drink or, you know, use some drugs to help manage that. And then there is, and this is a whole nother issue, but there is secondary disorders that could be managed by the drug and alcohol. And that's, you know, if you have a pre-existing condition of depression or anxiety disorder. And so it may need.
But do you think like around 6 months, if you're still feeling that way, you might say, okay, maybe there's a secondary issue.
Could be, or the intensity. Sometimes, you know, after a few weeks, like in the first month, the depression is really severe. Mm. More than what normal would be in someone's recovery. And that could be an indicator that you have a secondary disorder that needs to be addressed sooner. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. So
this is when you should definitely seek out professional help.
Yeah,
if that's available to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that I think that's a huge thing to know. So I think kind of the major takeaways here, everybody, is communicate.
Yeah.
You know, but I think hearing it in this structure, hearing it in this structure helps people to articulate, you know, what to communicate, because we don't, you know, I think a lot of times we just feel all like, feel all frustrated inside and we don't know why, or we don't know how to talk. And we're just frustrated that people that we love can't just understand what we're going through. But I think trying to put that into words, trying to say, be patient with me, trying to say, even if you say, I don't know what's going on with me, just be patient with me. I'm trying to figure it out. You know, I'm going to try not to attack you. I'm going to try not to, you know, take it out on you, you know, and having some personal responsibility with that. I think journaling too, like just expressing yourself through journaling. I think that that's a huge tool that people can use to just help process all this stuff that's going on. Just so much stuff kind of coming out of your system, recalibrating, you know, and that might be a journal that means nothing in the future. It was just there for you to get it all out, but then it might not be relevant once you stabilized or things of that sort. So to communicate, journal, you know, do healthy things for your body to help build it back up, you know, drink some juice, take some vitamins, get some exercise.
Well, yeah, that was the thing about, you know, with the mood is, the best thing, and I've seen this time and time again, is exercise. Mm-hmm. When you do at least a 30-minute cardiovascular exercise, where it's like it gives a boost to the brain. Your energy increases. You feel better. You're not as depressed. You're not as irritable.
And it's like cleansing. It like clears things out.
Yeah, and eating well. You don't want to be taking a lot of stimulant drinks, you know, that – you have a lot of caffeine because that just agitates things or, you know, so there is, and we talk about that in the app.
We have lots of challenges about that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So So, you know, communicate, do your sober buddy challenges. They're all in there for a reason. So everything's based right. on evidence-based models for recovery. So it's all, you know, there to help you get and stay sober on things that we know work, that we know help improve your recovery, you know, because thousands and thousands and thousands of people have used those things and have been observed, and you know, it's been part of that. So I think it's super important to value each of those challenges. If it doesn't apply to you, you know, if it's something about your dog, just let it go. But otherwise, you know, really ask yourself honestly, is this challenge for me? And try and do it, you know, because it all has purpose and it will help you build that structure you need. Well, thank you for joining me again today, Dad.
Thanks. Thanks for being here.
And the internet held up. We were able to have a full conversation without, I mean, you broke up a little bit, but not bad.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
It's better than it was back in the old, you know, landline calling card days. All right. Well, you have a great night. It's morning for me. And everybody else out there, we believe your life can be better than it's ever been before. Take it one moment, one day at a time. You have got this.